see through the shadows ahead. So I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging or fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake.
To stand in His presence, where mercy surrounds us, is more than we ever deserve. To bow down and worship cannot give Him justice, for this love we feel can't be spoken. Yeah.
alleluia, praise to Jehovah, worship the God of Abraham. Sing alleluia, praise to Jehovah, once for all is slain God's perfect lamb. God spoke to Israel, bring me a sacrifice, morning and evening, every day. Offer a spotless lamb without a blemish, this is the command you must obey. Sing alleluia, praise to Jehovah, worship the God of Abraham. Sing alleluia, praise to Jehovah, once for all is slain God's perfect lamb. Daily the lambs were brought, daily the blood was shed, laid on the altar built by man. Then at the perfect time, God said to Israel, I will now provide the perfect lamb. At God's appointed time, Jesus Messiah came to make the sacrifice for all sin. No longer bring a lamb, Jesus has paid the price. Clap your hands and let your songs begin. Sing alleluia, praise to Jehovah, worship the God of Abraham. Sing alleluia, praise to Jehovah, once for all is slain God's perfect lamb. Sing alleluia, praise to Jehovah, worship the God of Abraham. Sing alleluia, praise to Jehovah, are falling, time marches on, prophets are echoing, soon Christ will come, looking into the heart of man, seeking his own, calling all of the faithful children, come home. Jesus is coming. Listen for the trumpet. Look to the sky. No more sorrow, no more night. Only God's eternal light. Jesus is coming again. Majesty from heaven's throne, shout for your saints to rise, Lord, take us home, call us out of this world of sin, come Lord today, quickly Jesus come quickly, take us away. Listen for the trumpet, Jesus is coming. Listen for the trumpet, look to the sky.
more sorrow, no more night. Only God's eternal light. Jesus is coming again. No more sorrow, no more night. Only God's eternal light. Jesus is coming again.
OPVC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. We are live here today. It is 2:15 p.m. Central Time. It is July 31st, 2024. I cannot believe that we are almost to August already. This summer is going way too fast. And it will be, before we know it, the snow will be flying. And I can't say I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, lots of work to do from now until then, though. Lots of work and lots of things to prepare for. And also, when we get to that point, I have so much to do during the wintertime that not a shortage on things to do. So I'm never bored. I always have something to do. So you pray for us about all the different projects that we have going on right now and that we are going to do. There's so many things coming up. But pray for us this Saturday also. We'll be preaching this Saturday. We'll be preaching outside of, let's see, what is it? The Basilica Block Party, which I call the Bacchanelli Fest. Right? The Bacchanelli Fest, right? That's their god Bacchus, you know, their god Bacchanelli, you know, their little pan god, their little perverted drunk god that they worship, and their Bacchanelli Feast, and all that good stuff. So anyway, we'll be preaching outside of there, and like we did many years ago when the Archbishop was there, and I confronted him on a number of different things. So, anyway, you pray for us as we get out there and preach that event on Saturday. Boy, it's been hot. I was working all day yesterday outside after I got my sermon work done for Wednesday. I was out there working, and man, was I soaked. Went out there for about 4 or 5 hours and went back out for another couple hours. Man, I got some good sweat in, and I'm clearing out a bunch of property, and it looks good. It's coming around. So we'll be doing more of that. I'll be doing more of that, Lord willing, tomorrow, but not on Saturday because we'll be mighty busy on Saturday with preaching and everything. And, of course, Sunday, you pray for my family. Still, the little ones are still sick. And that cough is very nasty, and just pray for them that they would get better. It's been about a month since my wife has been to church, at least, going on 5 weeks almost. And then before that, before we were on our trip, she was gone for a month as well with sickness. So we have just really been having it. And poor Silas, he has gotten so many things since he was born. He's not even a year old yet. And man, that kid has had three or four different sicknesses. He's going to have a strong immunity. So, your prayers would be appreciated for sure. That God would do some healing there. You know, and that they would be able to get back to it here. It's a terrible thing to be sick in the summertime. You know, in the winter, you're used to being all cooped up, and that's the way it's got to be, right? It's really sad when it's the summertime, though. Not fun anytime, but definitely not summertime. So, Anyway, you know, I got to thinking about this issue that I'm going to talk about today. And I just decided to add it to the Foundations Destroyed series because it's part of it. And I think it was absolutely hilarious what J.D. Vance said about the Democrat Party being ran by a bunch of cat ladies, childless cat ladies. Because I absolutely believe it's true. And not just the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. So, quite a few of them. The world round, but definitely here in America and North America. I mean, the absolute hate that goes on for children is just, it's unbelievable, really. It just is unbelievable. Let's see here. Let me... see if I can find my quote. Here it is right here. Here's what I said on my Facebook page. I said, I'm not a Trump supporter or a J.D. Vance supporter, but his comment about childless cat ladies is spot on. It is the weirdest, strangest thing in the world. It is, isn't it? And people don't like it because it's true. I see so much unnatural affection with animals. Modern couples and single women gravitate toward that lifestyle of not really desiring to be married and have children, but to be cat ladies or dog moms. And the reason for this is because they don't want to give themselves to a man, and couples do not want to be mature, grow up, and have children. They want to live like dinks, even their women, the Bible says. The Bible speaks of the doomed society when even their women don't get it right. This, of course, made some people upset, some people happy. Other people, they don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Most of my pastor friends don't say a word about it. I think it just gets to them too much. They don't like it. They just stay silent. Nope. Not a word. Many of them, not a word. Not something. It's true, though, isn't it? The Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Show you something here. Be fruitful is 9 times in the scriptures. 9 times. How about that? The number of fruit in the Bible and fruitfulness is 9. And be fruitful is 9 times in the King James Bible. Well, now, isn't that interesting? You'd almost think that was on purpose. Right? You would almost think that God did that on purpose. Now, see, one of the foundations is marriage. And another foundation that is part of that. Foundational things for society and life is having children, bearing children, adopting children if you have to. Genesis 1:22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. So he tells the animals to be fruitful and multiply. Look what he says to man. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You know something? Where man has dominion, animals don't rule. But you ever let man stay out of some place for very long, and animals start running it. Because God made man to have dominion. And here he tells them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Conquer by force or the exertion of superior power. To conquer. To overcome. Man is to conquer the creation. Doesn't mean God's ordaining you killing everybody and your army conquering. No, he's talking about dominion over the earth. Over animals. God made man to conquer his creation. That's why there's this desire for men to, like, climb mountains, swim through caves, go to the ocean, enter into the ocean. Fly around in Earth's atmosphere. But he gave him dominion over the earth. He didn't give him dominion over the heavens up in the third heaven or out into space, did he? He didn't give him a mandate to go to the moon. He didn't give him a mandate to land on the moon. Think about that one. Okay. So God told them to be fruitful and multiply. And God blessed Noah. After the flood, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Look where that is. Genesis 9. The number 9 is the number of fruitfulness. A baby is in the womb for 9 months. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit. One fruit, 9 of those fruits in one cluster. that number 9 is the number of fruitfulness. It's why God hates birth control. It's Antichrist. Birth control is Antichrist. He also hates fornication. It's an abomination to him. And why is that? Because of what fornication produces. Many ills in society. Fornication produces many ills in society, destroys society. God never made man and woman to lie with one another without responsibility and accountability, and without that, and he never made them to lie with one another to stop fruit from being produced. That's not how God designed it. He designed it. He designed it for a man and a woman to come together in holy matrimony and to have babies. Now, some women cannot, and I get that. But it should not be for a lack of coming together. And I have found with some couples and some people, some couples, when digging a little deep into a situation of them wanting children and why they couldn't have children, well, their chances weren't very great for fertility when they weren't obeying the command to observe the marriage bed often. The more often they observe the marriage bed, the more opportunity there is to have a child. That's the way it's always worked. And it still works that way. But anyway, this birth control is designed for fornication. It's designed to fornicate with no consequences. So what happens is, many people, what they do, they fornicate like that, and then they end up getting diseases. That happened in North America to the Jesuits and to the Roman Catholics that came over and tried to settle North America. They were fornicating with all the Indians and they got syphilis. They were raping them and everything else. You can't commit sexual sin with no consequences. But anyway, in this point, what they tried to do today is to be weird little childless cat ladies. See, God made a woman to be nurturing to her husband, to her children. And when a woman does not have children, number one, when she doesn't have a husband, right? when she doesn't have a husband and she doesn't have children, since she's made to nurture and to care for something, she'll turn to animals to care for. That's what they turn to. But the Bible teaches to be fruitful and multiply. God made a man and a woman to get married and to have children. That's what he made them to do. That's how he made them. He says that here. But also we see it in 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. God's design. So Britt Hume here says that Vance made a mistake with his stupid comment about childless cat ladies. Why is it stupid? I think it's spot on. Fox News chief political analyst Britt Hume said Monday on Fox News that J.D. Vance made a mistake. Host Brett Baer said, "What do you make of this? Obviously, the media is covering this honeymoon already of the Kamala Harris nomination before it happens, but the Vance stuff is, he's clearly under attack." Hume said, "It reminds me of 2008 when John McCain, to the surprise of many, chose Sarah Palin to be his running mate. She got off to what? And to be a great start. She had a fiery press conference and convention speech that had the delegates absolutely roaring. She looked fine until the interest in her deepened facts about her record and strange things she had come out, and the whole thing came tumbling down." Sorry about the drag queen. Didn't see it on the side. Don't worry. It's actually not a man or a woman. It's a man. Clearly, Vance made a mistake. Hey, nice. With that stupid comment about childless cat ladies that he's now having to defend. Vice presidential nominees tend to not matter very much. At the moment, it appears Senator Vance is a drag on the ticket. But in the end, people are going to vote for the top of the ticket. He's right about that, by the way. But here's the thing. I actually agree with this comment. I don't think there is anything wrong with this comment. Because that's the reality. You got a bunch of women that are weirded out by children. A lot of them are weirded out by thinking about breastfeeding a child, which is the most natural thing ever. For a woman. But it's weird to them. It's very strange and weird to them. See, the comment that he made, I don't know what's wrong with it. It I agree with it. Molly Jong fast argued that Senator Vance and the GOP vice presidential wanted more white children. By the way, he's married to an Indian woman. He's biracial anyway. So how in the world could that be the case? That's just stupid. Right? But why? They're ginning up. It's just a Jesuit gin up game. I get it. But the comment that he made, it's spot on. It's a very strange thing for women not to want to have children. Be married and have children. That's a strange thing. Romans 1 warns us about it. Indian dot. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. See, that's fornication. That's a society given over to fornication. To baseless passions. To absolute desire driven by fleshly desire completely. They don't want to mature, marry a lady, mature, have children, raise children, which is what God made you to do. They want to shack up today, commit fornication, buy a puppy, and call it their child. Right? They want to be dog moms. Fur babies. Right? Here it is. Look at it. Based on the search results, this is a search. A dog mom is an informal and affectionate term for a female dog lover who considers her pets to be her fur kids. Dog moms nurture their fur babies like they are human children, often going to great lengths to ensure their pets' well-being and happiness. Treating them like family members. With their own costumes, social media presence, and special treats. prioritizing their needs. That's an animal. Prioritizing their needs, such as taking them to dog-friendly restaurants and parks. Really? Yeah. When I was on vacation in New England, I think that's where I was, Silas was in the stroller, or the cart. No, excuse me. I forgot what that's called. The wagon. Silas was in the wagon. And these two little yuppies pulled up next to us, our wagon. And they said to their dog, "Look, he's in a wagon just like you." I'm like, prioritizing their needs, such as taking them to dog-friendly restaurants and parks. Showing them love and attention, often the point of talking to them as if they understand. Look, making sacrifices such as choosing not to travel without them or adjusting daily routines to accommodate their needs. Right? Some common characteristics of dog moms. Believing their dogs are part of their immediate family. Nurturing their dogs like children with a focus on their emotional and physical well-being. It's a dog. Or a cat lady, whichever. Treating their dogs as individuals with unique personalities and quirks. While some people may view the term fur baby as an exaggeration or a trivialization of human parenthood, for dog moms, it's a term of endearment that reflects the deep bond they share with their canine companions. Man, I had a lady get so mad about this, she left the church, man. She just left. She was... Wow. That's crazy. She got so mad she left. Yep.
In this video, I'm...
Look at this. I'm not going to watch it because it's too long, but look. I flew on the first ever airline made for dogs. That is just dumb. It's about as dumb as that. Well, some people, key takeaways, dog moms are female dog lovers who consider their pets to be fur kids. They nurture their pets like human children. Why is that? It's because God made them to love. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. By the way, this topic makes a lot of women mad at me. Makes a lot of women upset. But the Bible says even their women. See, God made a woman to love. God made a woman to nurture and to love. That's how he designed them. It's exactly how he designed them. To be fruitful and to multiply. That's why the woman is the one that has the baby. That's why the woman is the one that has the equipment to feed the baby. That's why. That's God's design. So the comment that he made is spot on. When it comes to this, weird childless cat ladies. They don't want families. They want to fulfill that desire that God placed into them with an animal. They want to care for an animal instead of a human. That's why these same people women many of them would be fine and support abortion. Because they don't have natural affection. See, I'm preaching this not to the lost crowd as much as I am to the saved. And I'll show you why. You see, we're fooling ourselves if we believe that God is going to do a mighty work amongst us when God's people don't even get right with God, when God's people don't even have the family and the home, the marriage, the family, the home right, and we think God's going to bless us. What a joke. You have all these people supporting Make America Great Again, Make America Great Again, Make America Great Again. That ain't gonna happen. You know why? Because you can't even get God's people to get right. They don't even know what a family is, what the role of the sexes are. The Bible says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Well, no, the point is that those women need to get right with God. Because I hate to break it to you, pal, but we aren't going to have any wives for men. Godly wives for men and raise a godly seed without women getting right with God. You need women to get right with God and men to get right with God. That's what needs to happen. You know, the funny thing is, what I've watched women get all poopy doopy whoopy doggy woggy baby waby with a dog, but I've watched them treat people horribly. Those same women, I've watched them treat people horribly. I've watched them just absolutely treat other people horribly. They'll treat an animal better than they do. People. And if we don't get these things right, you're not going to see any revival anywhere. Because we don't even have the foundations right. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You don't even have this right. Exactly, Andrea. I've seen the same exact thing. She said, absolutely. She wrote, absolutely, I have heard people say they like dogs more than people and see nothing wrong with it. I've seen it too. They said, very plainly, I've heard him say, right? Oh, well, people have let me down, but dogs. Haven't. My cat hasn't. Well, let's see. Here you go. Look at this. Dog church. That's dog church. Every Sunday, Julie would take the dog she cared for on a hike and subsequently post an inspirational Facebook status afterwards. Sooner, followers began to expect her motivational words, and by 9:30 on Sunday morning, she was getting messages from people asking where Dog Church was. There was a subtle need for those inspirational stories, and people wanted to know about it. With a need for Dog Church to happen, Julie set out on a mission to complete the entire year's worth of entries, and those 53 Sunday morning stories are what made up Dog Church. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. If unconditional love is the lesson we are here to learn, then dogs are our greatest teachers. Purchase Dog Church. No, I'm good. Thanks. I'm good. Good, thanks. Nah. That's all right. That's all right, because I'm not a freak. So you see. Yeah. Devotionals based off of dogs and based off of dogs' life. See, this is what gets me in trouble with people, because I just show you the plain, like, this is what people are doing. This is how they act. Right? Because, see, everything that these women are doing like that, it's misplaced responsibility. It's misplaced affection. It's misplaced nurturing that God made them to nurture. When I had that woman tell me that, she left our church. She was like, my cat never let me down, and people have been this to me. My cat's been wonderful. But see, what is that? That's very telling. What does it tell you? What it tells you is these people don't want to invest in the lives of other people, because they don't want to be hurt. So they're very selfish and self-centered people. So they pour everything out to an animal. That way they never really have to give their life for others. That way they never really truly know what it means to sacrifice for others, to lay down their lives for others. Right? So here's a guy that says, hey, that's really weird. Right? This Pete Buttigieg guy, sodomite, Secretary of Transportation that watched trains fly off of tracks, did nothing about it, never helped, was incognito for the whole thing. Right? And this guy wants to be a woman so bad that him and this other sodomite pretend like they're married. And he's the girl, pretend, and he's fake nursing a baby. He comes out and he says, he claims abortion makes men more free during his White Dudes for Harris campaign event. Oh, well, abortion makes white dudes more free. Makes men more free. No, it makes them enslaved to their sin. They're not free. They're enslaved to sin. So here's a sodomite dude telling a bunch of white dudes for Harris right? Tells a bunch of men that abortion makes them freer. Well, he can't reproduce. That's why he's stealing kids from somebody else. That's the purpose. And he's calling the comment that man made weird. That J.D. Vance made weird. I don't think it's weird. I think it's normal. Right? I'm so glad she made freedom the theme of her campaign because I think in so many ways that's at stake. Of course, women's freedom is exhibit A after Donald Trump demolished the right to choose. But of course, men are also more free in a country where we have a president who stands up for things like access to abortion care. Men are more free when the leader of the free world, the leader of this country, supports access to birth control and to IVF, he added. See, they think freedom and liberty is to be used. Look at 1 Peter 2:16. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Right? They use their liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. So let me get this straight. The comment Vance made about childless cat ladies, that's a weird comment. But it's not weird for a guy to stand up and say that abortion makes men freer. Abortion makes men and women murderers. But see, you can see what his freedom is. His freedom is a cloak of maliciousness. If you notice the difference, though, and it's being made to look horrible. Right? But it's not. It's actually very true. So this man said, this perspective not only undermines the value of women and their inherent dignity, but also perpetuates a culture that evades responsibility and fails to support women in their time of need. Very true. This is a stark reminder of the cultural shift that needs to happen, one where men are called to embrace their roles as responsible adults who support women and children. I would go a step further and say men are the lead. They're to be the providers and the protectors, the leaders. Pete Buttigieg is right. Men are more free when women have abortions. It frees them from responsibility. It can even cover up crimes. Is this the freedom we're fighting for, women? This person says 40 days for life. Irresponsible white dudes for Harris. Abortion up until the birth at taxpayer expense allows men to be born more free, free from responsibility, free from the consequences of exploiting women. It's true. They see it as enslaving. See, they see it as enslaving. They see having children as slavery. Instead of it being a blessing, they literally see having children as a curse. God's command is be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Right? Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children. Are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. We have scores of churches today, and I mean independent Baptist churches, that are dying. You go in there, and there's 10 old people or 20 old people in there with no children or grandchildren. There's 10 old people keeping the lights on. And I would say most of that has to do with birth control. Most of that has to do with daycare centers. Most of that has to do with all those things. That's where most of that comes from. From that mentality. Most of it comes from a mentality and they hate children. No, I'm going to tell you, most of them don't have any children. Half of them have no children at all. And we're coming up to generations. See, men don't want to mature up. You know, life is not easy. life is challenging. Having children and raising, leading a wife and raising children and providing and all those things, it's challenging. You have to invest your life. You have to invest your heart. You have to invest your time. You have to invest your money. You have to invest into them. And so many selfish men want a bunch of toys. They want to run around with their friends. They want no commitment. They don't want to be fathers. They don't want to be husbands. They don't want to be fathers. You have all these women going out getting careers where they're teachers and other things. And the reason why is because God put in their hearts to teach. Absolutely, God made women teachers. I don't have a problem with that. Some of the best teachers that people had in school were women. You want to know why? Because God made them to teach. He just made them to teach their own children, to focus on their own family. See, you're going to have an epidemic from the last 40 years on till the future, till I'm a really old man. And one of those is going to be, you're going to see a lot of nursing homes, more so than ever. Why? Because parents put their children in daycare centers and didn't raise them. So when they get old, their parents are going to put them in daycare centers. And they're not going to go see them. That's reality. And it's actually what we have today. It's absolute reality. They're having nothing to do with their children today. And their children are going to have nothing to do with them when they get old. It'll be normal for them to put them in a nursing home. And I'll be honest with you, I'm training our church. That you take care of your family. You take care of your children. I mean, I don't even care. Man, I'll put a cabin on this property right here and they can stay right here. I don't care. They don't have to go anywhere if they don't want to. They can get married and we'll figure out a way to work it out if they have to. I'm training the next generation to do it right. Take care of your mom and dad. Doesn't matter what happened before us. Now we do right now. Right? Well, that's going to be a part of it too. They have these pods right now, these suicide pods. They do have these suicide pods right now. And there's some situations where you have lost family members and people that don't want to be around and you can't do much for them. I get that. But I'm talking about the ones that we raise up, our children, our parents, our children, our... I teach them to do right. Teach them to take care of their family. Right? See, God made women to do that, and that's why you see these dog moms and all this other stuff. The age women, likewise, they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, that's how God made them. And that's what the church is supposed to instruct. First Timothy. But you see, it's weird to this guy because he's a sodomite. It's all weird to them, right? The childless cat. Donald Trump on Monday defended his running mate's claims that childless cat ladies had destroyed American values. J.D. Vance's 2021 comment that Vice President Kamala Harris and other Democrats were a bunch of childless cat ladies miserable at their own lives. That's true, by the way. I agree with that statement. Trump said on Fox News on Monday that Mr. Vance likes families, but that he also, but, you know, let's keep in mind here. To me, this is a psyop. It's true what he said, but it's part of the psyop because this is the same guy that wants people to have access to the abortion pill, that he's okay with that. Right? So don't forget that. That's the same guy. The comment that he made is correct about this. But he's the same guy. Trump said on Fox News that he likes families. That he also said that he did not place a higher value on parenting. You know, you don't meet the right person or you don't meet any person, but you're just as good, in many cases, a lot better than a person that's in a family situation, he said. Right. Harris has a loving, nurturing, fiercely protective co-parent. Yeah, right. Trump said Mr. Vance was simply trying to show how much he values family life. He grew up in a very interesting family situation. He feels family is good. Right? They got really mad about that, right? But it's true. They hate children. Most of them do. Most of these people hate children. Just go in public and you'll see it. They take their dogs and their cats in public. They have no children around them. And you see all these grandparents that are traveling around with dogs. They're not traveling around with their grandchildren. They're not traveling around spending with their grandchildren, investing in the lives of their grandchildren. there spending money and time with their dogs. He said, the substance of what I said, Megan, I'm sorry it's true, he added. Mr. Vance, who has three children, said he was not criticizing people who do not have children. This is about criticizing the Democrat Party for becoming anti-family and anti-children, he told them. Yeah, like they look at us like we dread it or something. My wife typed in there, they say you have your hands full, and my response is full of blessings. But it's funny because they act like it's a horrible, like our lives are horrible or something. Like we're... like they feel sorry for us or something. I'm like, really? Why? In the original interview of Tucker Carlson, Mr. Vance questioned why some leading politicians did not have children. He said the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children, he said. How does it make any sense we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it? He said the country is being run by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made so that they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. Hey, I agree with that. Because, see, these women want to go run the world. They want to go. Why? Because their focus is wrong. The reason they want to do all these things is because they don't follow the scriptures. Even the professing Christian ones. And with all, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry. Why? Keeps them busy. Right? Right? It keeps them busy. In the work that God has called them to do, that God created them to do. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry. Why? Because their ministry is to be to their husband. Their ministry should be to their husband. It is to their husband. That's how God designed it. Let me tell you something. Women that don't focus on their husbands, right? Women that don't focus on their husband, they get into a lot of trouble. When they don't have strong male leadership, these women get in a lot of trouble. They cause a lot of trouble. They cause a ton of trouble. Because women were meant to be busy doing exactly what Paul is saying here. I will therefore the younger women marry. Then after that, he says, bear children. You see the order, right? Marry, then bear children. See, that's God's design, because that's the way that children turn out for the Lord. And they turn out more stable and stronger. That they marry, bear children. Right? Not only that they get married, but that they bear children. God never meant for you to go on birth control, to get married, go on birth control, and wait till you're old and you've accomplished all these things you want to in your life, and then try to have children later in life. Because that's what's happening. There's a lot of women that are having babies now at 45 and 50 some years old. Why? Because they took birth control all through their youth, and they decided, they saw that, oh my goodness, I'm 50 years old. And now I want to get married and I want to have a baby, because I figured out that I've spent all this time in all my youth and I'm lonely. And when the cats and the dogs don't cut it, that yearning that God put inside of them to have children, to have a husband and have children, that yearning, that natural, written in your DNA, that natural yearning. That they waited until the end, and then they have a lot of complications. Why? Because God made them that. God made them to get married. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And guess what? No matter how you slice it, you need the seed of a man to have a baby. That's just how it works. You don't get around that. You don't get around that at all. It's God's design. It's God's way. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children. How many? As many as the Lord our God will give you. That's how many. Right? Well, how many children? How many ever God gives you? And it should never be for a lack of trying that doesn't happen. Amen. Shouldn't be for that reason. I will therefore that the younger women marry. Why? It keeps them from being a busybody into other men's affairs and tattlers. Or it's supposed to. It's supposed to. That's why it's designed. God designed it that way. So you wouldn't be a busybody into other men's affairs and poke your nose into things that you don't belong in. Tattlers, running your mouth. Speaking things which you ought not. Running your mouth on somebody else's husband. Arguing with men. Falsely accusing them. All those things. So he says, I would that the younger women marry. Bear children. Next he says, guide the house. Lady, your duty as a wife is to guide the house. That's your sphere of influence. Now, the husband is the head of the wife. He's the head of the home, but the wife is the guide of the home. She's the guide. She guides the house. That's a wonderful question to ask. Are you guiding the home? Because that's your main ministry, is to love your husband, to love your children, to guide the house. The reason why a lot of young women get into trouble is because they're not married and they're not guiding their own home. So they try to do the things that other people are supposed to do, that men are supposed to do. They try to do the work of a man. They try to do the gender-specific things that a man is called to do. And they are gender-specific because the Bible is extremely gender-specific. The duties of a woman are specific to her sex. Yep. They are significant. They are designed. For her sex. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. What do? They guide the house. That's what they do. What is their work? To guide the house. She guides the children. She guides the affairs of her husband. Fulfills the wishes of her husband. She's guiding the home. Right? That's the difference in the world's way of doing things and the way the church is supposed to, the way God's people are supposed to, the Christians are supposed to be conducting themselves. See, God uniquely equipped the woman to marry, bear children, guide the house. That's literally, that's God's design. But when you take a woman out of God's design and you put her in places of leadership, when you put her in places of authority, she's a busybody, she's a tattler. Into other men's affairs. The sphere of her influence is to be the home. But now we have women wasting their gifts in the world, wasting their gifts working in the world. If my wife went to work in the world, she'd be wasting the gifts and the talents that God gave her to raise my children. It's like that old lady said to us at the Pride in the Park event in Owatonna. Where's all your women at? My wife's at home with my 8 children. Oh, really? Is that her place? Is that what she's supposed to be? Is that where she's supposed to be? I said, yeah. God gave them to her, didn't he? She's the one that had them. I'm going to be the husband and the protector and the provider and the head. But God made her. And when you've pulled woman out, look at the mess our children are in. If they even have children. If we even have children. If couples even have children with the mother being gone, how unstable, what a mess it is. When woman is not doing her work of guiding the home. I see so many teachers, women, going to teach other people's children and neglecting their own. I see that in the Christian school movement. Here's all these women teaching other people's children, but not teaching their own. One Baptist church has a Christian school with a female principal. By the way, every one of their children has turned out to be a wreck. Worldly, wicked. Now one's like a rocker into CCM pastor in a hippie church out in Florida. The other one was a fornicating slob. But mom's the principal. Mom's the principal of the school. Really? So a principal is in charge of other teachers. So in a Christian school connected to a Baptist church, which is a ministry of the Baptist church, your boss is a woman. In Christian circles, in the Lord's church. I understand if men have to work out in the world and their boss is a woman. But in the Lord's church, in a ministry, some woman is your boss? But she didn't guide her own home. Because her husband was never home. He was Mr. Evangelist, traveled the country. Kicking fat beats on the microphone. Well, that's what I call it, because all of his sermons rhymed, and he was like the white Irish rapper or something. I saw it. I watched it. I've watched it unfold over the years. That mentality. Right? See, God made a woman to nurture. God made a woman to love. God made a woman to guide the home. You see these women being leaders? God made men to be leaders of the world. He made women to guide the home. So she has gifts from God, and she is equipped to guide the home. And all the ingenuity and all the light that God has given was given for a woman, was gifted to a woman to guide and raise her children, to raise up leaders, to raise up preachers, to raise up men. Right? Right? That was God's design. That's God's way. That's why you have these women that are out there and they put them in different positions and different places. They're wasting all of their gifts and talents. They're wasting all of the things that God has given them to guide the home and to raise children for the Lord, to impact the next generation, which will go on when they're in their grave, the fruit be fruitful and multiply. That fruit will go on after they are dead. They will go to the grave, but their children live on in this world with whatever they gave their children. By the grace of God, that's what they live on through, with. See, their testimony of a godly mother lives on farther than her own life. So these women that go out into the world and try to be famous and try to work careers and try to achieve all these other things, that all dies with them. They die, and the fruit of it, which is not good, goes away and nobody cares. But if they are a godly wife, if they are a godly mother, then their works do follow them. Right? We see that example of Proverbs 31. This was a woman with her husband's estate. This was not some woman making a career. Everything that she did was centered around her home, not some business. Right? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Look, everything is about her husband and what she does for her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. Her husband. Not her. Right? But her husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Keepers at home are not idle. They're constantly working. If they're guiding the home, they're constantly working. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. What does that mean? She's guiding the home. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She's watching the home. She's guiding the home. She's looking well to the ways of her household, how it's managed, how to make it effective, how to make it biblical, how to make things right, how to make it productive, how to train her children, how to support her husband as a helpmeet. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not wasting her time. She's not idle. With all, they learn to be idle. But she eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. They're thankful. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. Her husband encourages her. He doesn't discourage her and put her down. He encourages her. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. He praises her for all that she does, all the good that she does, all the hard work that she puts in. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates, through her husband and through her children. She's praised in the gates. Right? That's what happens.
Shadows in heaven.
Amen. That's right. The half hath ne'er been told. That's right. Amen. Well, you know, a lot to think about, that we're to be heavenly minded, right? And focus on our work that God has called us to do. Each one of us have a duty that God has called us to do. And we ought to be about our Father's business, whether we're male or female in the Lord. We ought to be about God's business. And we have much work to do before we go home. And it's important that we remember that, and that we don't lose sight of that and keep focused on what God has called us to do. All right, one more song here, then we'll get out of here.
Plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up above the clouds, Lord, where thy pure sunshine is found. Lift me up above my weakness, lift me up into thy strength. Lift me up above the shadows, stand with thee at length.
Lift me up above the shadows, lift me up and let me stand on the to thy bosom.